Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The summer is here. That means outdoor festivals, Comic-Cons, and the perfect weather for toy hunts. As the weather heats up and you're out there enjoying yourself, stay hydrated with our show's sponsor, Liquid IV. Liquid IV hydrates two times faster than water alone and three times the electrolytes of traditional sports drinks. And it's easy to use. Just rip open a pouch, pour one of their delicious flavors into a water bottle, and shake it up. With sea berry, strawberry lemonade, Concord grape, lemon lime, pina colada, tropical punch, watermelon, guava, and more to choose from, there is a flavor for everyone. So whether you're on that long toy hunt, spending 10 hours on your feet walking your favorite Comic-Con, or getting your sweat on, stay hydrated and healthy with Liquid IV. Get 20% off when you go to liquidiv.com and use code AICPOD at checkout. That's 20% off anything you order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code AICPOD at liquidiv.com.
Are you ready, kids? Get your parents' permission, check your mailbox, and grab your shopping cart. It's time for the Adventures in Collecting podcast.
I'm Eric.
And I'm Dave.
Welcome to Adventures in Collecting,
where we talk toy news, culture, and hauls,
along with our journeys as collectors.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Adventures in Collecting.
Hey, we're back,
Dave. We are indeed. We're back.
Yeah, and we are no longer alone anymore.
It's true. It's true. We took a break from having guests on for all of one episode, mm-hmm. and we're back to having not only just a guest but a returning guest. And
yes.
It's you know we're nearing the release of a special film that's coming out. This is definitely going to be a turtle-rific episode, I think we could say, right? So
I think it will be filled with much mayhem.
Yeah, very good. So of course, when it comes to the rise of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and pop cultural significance, Playmates was practically there from the beginning. It's only appropriate that they help usher in this latest incarnation as Mutant Mayhem heads into theaters just this August. So joining us this week on the show is returning guest and VP of marketing at Playmates, Pat Linden. Pat, welcome back to Adventures in Collecting.
Oh, thanks a lot, and thanks for having me. Very exciting times at Playmates, especially with the upcoming launch of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Mutant Mayhem, which will be in theaters on August 2nd. Get that plug in. And I think everybody's very much looking forward to the movie.
Absolutely. And you know, we've been saying
we are
it for
sure.
Yeah, definitely. And we've been saying it for years, and it feels like it only becomes more and more true each year we've been doing this podcast. It's never been a better time to be a fan of the Ninja Turtles. It's mm-hmm. just like that statement just keeps getting more and more true as we go on with the show. But before we jump into the turtles themselves, just if you could, Pat, remind our listeners, how long have you been at Playmates, and what are you actually responsible for there?
Yeah, so I've been at Playmates for 24 years, so I've been there for a while. Obviously, wasn't there for the original launch of Turtles back in the late 80s and 90s, but have been there since, obviously, 1998, so saw the 4Kids era, as I like to call it, with Ninja Turtles, when 4Kids was working directly with the co-creator Peter Laird and the Mirage Group, and you know, been there since 2003. obviously was there when Nickelodeon purchased the IP, I believe in 2011, and then relaunched with the TV show in 2012. And obviously there for the rise of, and now for Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Mutant Mayhem, which is very exciting.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we were very lucky to be among some of the first people to see the new figures at their reveal in New York earlier this year. And the energy was, it was high energy. It was buzzing. How has it been watching fans react to the new designs?
No, it's been great. And obviously, I follow social media quite regularly. And, you know, in New York, yeah, we were able to unveil the Turtles. And then just a couple of weeks ago with the release of the second trailer, and that trailer featured the mutants. And so since then, we've unveiled the mutant characters in the form of action figures as well. And I think for the most part, the response has been very, very good. I see a lot of positive responses. Yeah, you're always going to have your negative Nellies out there, as I call them, that will talk down this or that. But for the most part, I think the Ninja Turtle fans are very excited for Mutant Mayhem. And we are too, as a company.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just speaking as somebody who's, you know, a parent of a soon-to-be 8-year-old. You know, she's enjoyed the kind of Turtles by proxy, you know, through me and through, you know, her uncle, yeah, through both our kind of older toys and some of the reissues that have come out and, you know, of course, like the old media. But it's been great seeing her, how viscerally she's reacted to these new Turtles. Like, it's like these are Turtles for her generation.
No, I agree. And, you know, some of the comments I see are that, yeah, you know what, this Mutant Mayhem definitely does pay somewhat homage to the original series in terms of look and style of the Turtles. You know, you have the brickwork, you have the sewer elements, the sewer lid cover, you know, all those elements. And then the characters themselves, I mean, they are bringing back a lot of the classic characters that were huge back in the 80s and 90s that, you know, obviously Seth Rogen and the Point Grey team have reimagined to put their own unique look and spin on them. But, you know, those are characters that are beloved by that original audience back in the 80s and 90s and will be loved by the new audience in, you know, 2023 and 24.
And it was really cool too, seeing like the art style from that trailer, because really, you know, when we first saw those figures, we had less than a day of having seen the trailer and being able to take it in, and really just seeing how well it translates to that toy form. It's really cool to kind of see this new style in toys, but still have that same feel of like what we know and what, you know, people who have just, like my niece, who have seen the old material, be like, this, it's still familiar to everybody, but it's its own thing. It's very still, you know, a new kind of different fun energy around it.
Yeah, I think Nickelodeon and, you know, specifically Point Grey, Seth Rogen and the team have done a really good job of, you know, making these figures look unique, you know, for today, but at the same time, you know, kind of has that tingle, I guess, as I would call it, of the look of the Turtles back in the 80s and 90s as well.
So, you know, we've seen Turtles from all forms of media now translated into toys over the years. What was different and or maybe challenging about taking this incarnation of the Turtles and turning them into toys?
Yeah, I think, you know, one of the challenges was that obviously the Turtles this time around are teenagers. And, you know, they look like they're teenagers as well. They don't have bulging muscles. You know, they look kind of skinny, except for maybe Raph. So from that standpoint, you know, when it comes to action figures and Ninja Turtles, you know, we didn't want to produce really, really skinny action figures. Because A, you know, these are definitely for kids, and in the kids' mind, the Ninja Turtles are heroic. And to have that heroic look. You know, I think we did bulk him up a little bit, and Nickelodeon did give us the liberty to do that. But at the same time, you know, we wanted to retain kind of that teenage look too. So obviously we didn't go overboard, and I think we've struck a pretty good balance of them still looking like they do in the movie, that teenage look, but at the same time, making them look a little more heroic with, you know, more musculature and, you know, giving them the ability to kick butt.
You know, I thought it was really clever too, that they're all on different bodies. Like, cause I think of, you mm-hmm. know, historically think of the Turtles, you know, as being like four figures that are just kind of painted a little bit differently. You know, sometimes Raph gets like a little more of like a, you know, beat up treatment, but, you know, opening them and having them all in hand. Cause again, back when we first got to see them in New York, we only handled like one or two of them just because of the way that they were all staged. We didn't want to mess up with the whole display, but once I was actually shooting them and reviewing them, I realized, I was like, oh, these are four distinctly different bodies, like all heights, kind of, you know, broadness, like really clever, really, really clever.
Yeah. And, you know, look at when we did the Turtles back in the 80s and 90s, it was, you know, we tooled up one body and four different heads. Right. Mm-hmm. And you had the belt buckles that distinguished which turtle was what, as well as the expression on their face. My times have changed. I mean, yeah, like you said, each of these four turtles are uniquely sculpted. And, you know, the look of the turtle kind of takes on the personality of that turtle as well. Raphael, obviously, he's the tough one, right? He's the one that always is looking for a fight. So he is a bit larger, a bit more muscular than the other three. And then you have Donatello. He's the smart one. So he has the glasses. And he's probably the skinniest of them, but at the same time, you know, he still has those ninja skills and can kick butt as well. Then you have Michelangelo. Well, he's the short one, and, you know, they made him look unique because his head shape's quite a bit different than the other three.
Yep.
And, you know, it just all works. It all came together. And then obviously you have Leonardo, and he's the leader, and he kind of has that look in terms of body proportion and, you know, his head shape and his expression as well.
Yeah, it's definitely one of those things where if you were a kid, and I mean, I'm going out on a limb, right? But like if a kid has never had a single touch point with the Ninja Turtles ever, like going in completely, completely blind, if they picked up these four figures, I think that is immediately like, oh, this is the silly one because he's short.
Mm-hmm.
This is the, you know, nerdy one because he's got the glasses and he's got the phone in his fanny pack. And then, you know, you got the burly one. And then Leo is literally like, he's the, you know, the hero character. He's the first one that you pick because he's got the two swords. He's got the expression. Right. He's got the build that like, he's got like the perfect, you know, air quote, perfect like hero build. It's just, that attention to detail on a $10 kids toy is one of those things where it's like, this is how you toe the line between an action figure. It's for a kid, but like an adult can also appreciate because it really does toe that line very well. So I was really impressed.
Well, thank you. No, again, kudos to Nickelodeon and the team at Point Grey for, you know, the designs for the turtles because, you know, personally, and I may have a biased opinion here, but I think they nailed it in terms of the look of the characters and, you know, like we just talked about, bringing out the personality of those characters just in the look. You know, even if you didn't know anything about the turtles, like you just said, Eric, you could probably have a pretty good idea of what their personalities are like just based on their appearance alone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. Now, the Turtles line has a long history of working with some incredible designers and sculptors. What was it like working with Phil Ramirez on the Mutant Mayhem figures?
No, look at it. Working with Phil was great. I mean, obviously, he's been a sculptor for a long, long time, and he worked on some of the very original Ninja Turtles when he was at Varner Studios. So, you know, when we were looking for sculptors and, you know, again, you know, nothing against Varner either. He was did a very, very good job and still does great work today. But, you know, I know he was working on other projects, specifically our Star Trek line, as well. And, you know, we knew Phil was out there you know, found out that he was working on his own, and to be able to work with Phil was great. I think he did a great job, and you know, I think he put his heart and soul into it as well, because I think Turtles holds a special place in his heart too, because you know what? Yeah, he did work on the original line, and obviously that was successful. And because he worked on that, you know, I think it was a challenge to him too, in terms of, oh, okay, I worked on this originally. How do I make this better? How do I, you know, one up myself, I guess, in terms of, you know, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. And I think he did a fabulous job.
So sticking with design, can you walk us a little bit through of the creative process of like how the, you know, the new Turtles get created, you know, from screen to toy?
Sure. So really, I mean, it all starts with Nickelodeon and getting those, that original character art from them, not only of the four turtles, but all the other characters as well. And, you know, look at what, you know, nothing's ever final, especially the process starts very, very early on. So even though we receive character art from them, you know in the back of our minds it's probably going to change on their end as well. And, you know, like I said earlier, I mean, the turtles are teenagers. So they have that teenage body, you know, it's skinny, it's not developed. Their muscles aren't there yet. And at the same time, you know, from a toy standpoint and who this is targeting, a kid, you know, we want the turtles to look heroic and look like they can kick butt. So, you know, obviously we go back and forth with Nickelodeon in terms of, okay, well, what if we make, you know, them a little more muscular, and, you know, it's that back and forth in terms of, nope, that's probably a little too muscular. And, you know, then they'll push back and then we'll push back. So it's a little bit of back and forth, but at the same time, you know, I think both companies know what the ultimate goal here is. And, you know, it's to create a great action figure that's going to appeal to kids and the collectors, and those kids and collectors have to think that the turtles look heroic. So yeah, there's a bit of back and forth, but at the same time, you know, and it's great to get everybody's opinion too, because the more back and forth you go, I think it just leads to a more perfect action figure, a more perfect look for an action figure for Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yeah, and it's really one of the other things too that kind of jumped at me from these figures, now, you know, just kind of thinking about them, you know, and the process as well. The art style has that kind of very frenetic, almost like comic book to life, you know, where it looks like a moving comic book. And it's interesting because some of the, like, the lines on the figures are a little rough, like even like the, you know, outlines of the eyes and the mouth, like they have that kind of, you know, jagged fill to them. They're not as, you know, they're not like perfectly clean. And, you know, I think it's a clever way to kind of bring that very 2D looking art style to, you know, a 3D figure.
No, definitely. And, you know, that's where Phil comes in and did a great job, because look at, I mean, these figures have facets in them. They have facets in their heads and their body, and, you know, being able to capture that look. And then when you decorate the figures too, making sure that the decoration is on the lines that are integral to the sculpt, it's, you know, it's a process. And obviously it takes somebody with great skill like Phil has to be able to sculpt these and really bring them to life and make them appear like they do in the movie with that unique look and that unique style.
Yeah. So speaking of unique looks and unique designs, Seth Rogen recently shared photos of a special 4-pack with Beach Bum Mikey, Cowboy Leo, Astronaut Raff, and Spock Donnie, paying homage to the turtle disguises from past releases. I immediately think of the sports ones. So what went into that design, and can we expect to see the Mutant Mayhem styled turtles do more of this going forward?
Well, I can tell you that those four turtles were like, oh, these are such great characters, and they based the designs on what we did back in the 90s. Yep. So you saw those same four characters dressed as you said, Leo as the cowboy, Mikey as the beach bum, Donatello as Spock, and Raph as the astronaut. And this is a great set. And, you know, I think, you know, the fans of yesterday will remember and find it very appealing. And you look at their unique looks, right?
Yeah. Now, if they could get in like the pizza shooter, that would.
See, I was thinking, listen, like I love a good, like well-timed multi-pack. Let's get the four new turtles as the Universal Monsters. Like, let's do that for a Halloween four pack at Walmart. That's what we got. That's where we got to go next.
Yeah. And, you know, who knows? That could happen.
So, you know, sticking with the idea of kind of like, you know, the toy culture of the turtles. One of the best parts, of course, is the kind of world building aspect with vehicles and play sets. We've seen a little bit of column A and a little bit of column B so far. How did you approach those concepts of play sets and vehicles for Mutant Mayhem?
So when it comes to vehicles, the pizza van, the pizza fire van, as we call it, I mean, we knew that was going to be in the movie. And again, you know, kudos to Seth Rogen and his crew, because, you know, that van has a lot of elements taken from the original party van as well. So, you know, that was a no-brainer. April's scooter. Yeah, obviously that wasn't from the original series, but, you know, we're like, you know what, let's plus it up a little bit. Let's take the sidecar from the cycle that we did back in the 80s and 90s that had a sidecar, and we'll put it on the scooter and put a unique feature on it in the fact that it transforms from a sidecar or could ride from the back as well. And again, I think that, you know, a lot of the fans from yesterday will remember that and be able to recognize, oh, the sidecar was a very popular cycle back in the day. And then the Ninja Kick cycle, you know, that was based just on a very cool inventor concept that we saw where the figure can hold on to the handlebars and you toggle the pizza slice on the back seat from side to side, and the figure jumps off the seat and kicks from side to side as well. So that one, and look at, I mean, cycles always traditionally have done very, very well in the turtle line. I think, you know, kids, 4, 5, and 6 year olds, and even probably a little bit younger, definitely recognize and like motorcycles. And, you know, you see that in the toys as well, because cycles always traditionally have performed very well in the line.
Yeah, the configuration of the sidecar thing. I was playing with that thing for like a good hour taking photos. Cause like, oh, like you put Mikey over here with the little nunchuck attached to the wheel. It was it's so much fun. Like, yeah. So much fun.
And now a word from our sponsors.
This segment is brought to you by our friends at Chubsy Wubsy Toys. A traditional mom-and-pop toy store in Little Falls, New Jersey, Chubsy Wubsy Toys brings you the best new toys from the brands you love without the hassle of pounding the pavement searching for them at larger retail stores. Visit them in person at their brand new home at 101 Newark Pompton Turnpike Suite 1 in Little Falls, New Jersey, or online at ChubsyWubsy.com. That's ChubsyWubsy.com. And tell them Adventures in Collecting sent you.
Rewind and press play on your VHS collection with CGC. CGC is excited to announce our newest collectible vertical, CGC Home Video. As a division dedicated to authenticating and grading your VHS collection, our experts are ready to help you encapsulate your favorite video cassettes. Don't settle for static on the screen. Submit today at cgcgrading.com. That's cgcgrading.com.
Face it, shaker bottles suck. Your shakes always come out clumpy and they're a pain to clean.
You're right, Dave. That's why I decided to ditch my shaker bottle for good and get myself a BlendJet 2 portable blender. It makes perfectly blended shakes in just 20 seconds.
BlendJet 2 is portable, so you can blend up a smoothie at work, a protein shake at the gym, or even a margarita on the beach. It's small enough to fit in a cup holder, but powerful enough to blast through tough ingredients like ice and frozen fruit with ease.
BlendJet 2 is whisper quiet, so you can make your morning smoothie without waking up the whole house. It lasts for over 15 blends and recharges quickly via USB-C.
Best of all, BlendJet 2 cleans itself. Just blend water with a drop of soap and you're good to go.
With an array of colors, patterns, or even Disney-inspired designs to choose from, show off your personality while you're blending up something delicious on the go.
What are you waiting for? Go to BlendJet.com and grab yours today.
And be sure to use the promo code AICPOD12 to get 12% off your order and free 2-day shipping. No other portable blender on the market comes close to the quality, power, and innovation of the BlendJet 2. They guarantee you'll love it or your money back. Blend anytime, anywhere with the BlendJet 2 portable blender. Go to blendjet.com and use the code AICPOD12 to get 12% off your order and free 2-day shipping. Shop today to get the best deal ever.
And now back to the show.
Now, we saw the playset as well back in New York, and you know, it had a couple really, really neat elements to it, like a slime element. Is there any kind of update on that?
Yeah, so the slime element is still included in the playset, and you know, to give you a little bit of background on the playsets, I mean, look at when we relaunched Turtles back in 2012. There weren't too many playsets in the male action aisle, and we're like, you know what? It's Ninja Turtles, and one of the key scenes or key placements or key areas in the turtle world is that lair, and it's no different than the Batcave in Batman. We're like, you know what? We got to have a cool turtle lair playset, and you know, we're like, all right, well, let's design something that is going to be our flagship for the line. And we're like, okay, let's, you know, we're going to build a big playset. And at the time, you know, that playset was $100. There was a lot of questions. Oh, will a consumer pay $100 for a playset, especially in the male action aisle? And, you know, lo and behold, yeah, definitely, because that Lair playset sold really, really well. So when we were looking at designing a new playset, we're like looking at, you know, the times today and inflation has gone through the roof. Costs have gone up. We're like, well, you know what? Let's just take a step back. Instead of doing that humongous playset that in today's world would probably cost $150, you know, let's downsize it a little bit. And again, pay homage to the original sewer lair playset that we did back in the day. So we obviously made it smaller, made it modular with the subway station that you can move and place wherever you want, but we loaded it with a ton of fun features. And Ooze is still definitely a big, big part of the playset and still has the tube where you can pour the ooze into and ooze the baddies or use the ooze ball and roll that down the tracks to take out some baddies as well. But yeah, and you know what? We did it all for less than $100. So very happy about that. And I think the fans appreciate that as well. And then the fact, you know, the line itself, I think we've done a good job of keeping it affordable. And look at, I mean, the core of the line is still the action figures. And, you know, if you look at the retail today, it's hard to find an action figure for less than $10. And that was our goal, was, you know, really provide a lot of value, you know, not only with the action figures, but include a lot of accessories as well, and which should allow kids to be able to collect deep into the line to be able to purchase action figures for less than $10.
Yeah, I mean, I think to your point, you know, and again, you know, not without, you know, kind of throwing anything or anybody under the bus, but like, you know, $10 for what you get in that, you know, inside that blister, you know, you get the figure, you get the weapons tree, you get a hero, you know, accessory that has a little extra paint on it, you know, plus all the articulation. You know, they move, they don't move like old turtles. You know, they have, you know, all the extra joints and everything. you know, I really do think that there is a lot of value there. And, you know, especially in the, you know, what we saw on the playset and the vehicle so far, I think, mm-hmm. you know, you're again, like you're really toeing that line, you know, that makes it accessible for kids and easy to, you know, for kind of inundated collectors these days to, you know, to add.
Yeah. And that's always been like a hallmark of the line is like, you know, the value you get for what you're paying. You know, you are getting accessories that can go across the line. You know, it's really that impetus that'll get you kind of, okay, yeah, well, if I get more, I get more accessories. So it's really that cool kind of that bridge to more stuff that's in the line.
Yeah, and look at, I mean, you know, we love including accessories because at the end of the day, it is a toy. It's targeting that younger kid. And, you know, it's great to have an action figure, but if you have accessories that, you know, the figure can hold and you can actually play with, you know, I think it just makes it that much more special.
And I'm also
to recreate, you know, their favorite scenes from whether it's the movie or the TV show.
And I'm just excited too that, you know, a new generation of collectors gets to experience the pleasure of disassembling a weapons tree. There's nothing like I have to say, like I've opened a couple of the retro ones with my daughter and like the original weapons trees, and it's like the first time I got to do that after a while was like gave me like the warm and fuzzies. But like getting to do it on a new figure, new style, new design. Like I literally sat there like a kid, like, you know, like opening the weapons tree. It was so much fun. I missed that kind of stuff.
Yeah, that was always my favorite part is like, okay, giving characters stuff.
Yeah.
Like, oh, they have more stuff that they can carry, not just, you know, katana or a bow staff or anything like that.
My favorite weapons tree item. So I'm admittedly a Donnie guy. I'm not a Mikey guy, but my favorite weapons tree accessory came with Mikey on this. I love the microphone nunchucks.
Oh.
Those are hilarious, and I really, really hope they show up in the movie. But very funny. Like I love how goofy the turtles can be, but like without it being they could be goofy without being stupid. And I love I love that, like, you know, delineation.
Also, we can't all be Mikey people, Eric. I get it. You're wrong, but I get it.
Oh, we're going to put Pat on the spot with that later. Don't you worry. Don't you worry. Dave, I think the next one is yours, right?
Oh, okay. We talked about the before, you know, it was tooling and different heads and different belts. Playmates has been putting those vintage 80s and 90s tools to work. But with Mutant Mayhem now the focus of the line, will there continue to be retro releases?
Yes. We have retro figures lined up through 24, and you know, we'll see what happens going forward past 24. But yeah, there is definitely a plan in place to keep on bringing back some of those old tools. And in some cases, you know what, those tools aren't available, and we're retooling from scratch those original figures, but instead of giving them, you know, new bells and whistles, we want those to retain that same look, retain that same style, retain that same feel of, you know, when they were shipped back in the 80s and 90s. You know, probably if I had a guesstimate, probably 80% of those are everything's based on the original tools, but there are some parts of the tools that have broken or are lost. So we've had to retool, in some cases, entire figures, but in most cases, different pieces or parts from those original characters as well.
Well, that's good to know. And I know a lot of people, you know, really enjoy seeing those retro figures out again, either people who, you know, still have their original ones, but they are so played with that having, you know, like a new version to kind of keep nice and shiny, you know, and also, again, like just going back to all those accessories, how many ninja stars have we lost over the years, you know, shurikens, right? You know, how many of those little pieces?
Or Eric, even seeing, like, you know, one of the things I'll never forget is you know, your daughter, my niece, opening that movie star pack.
Oh, God. She...
For the first time.
That's like, seriously, it's one of her... You know, like the mind of a seven... Well, at the time she got it, she was six. Now she's, you know, she's almost eight. But like, you know, the mind of a six-year-old, right? Like, play with something, you know, get really, really into it for like a half hour and then like on to the next thing. She has done that with so many things, but continues to pull that box because she uses it to store the turtles, pulls it out front of the couch and dives right back in. And every now and then I sneak in when she's not looking and I slip in another figure in there from my old collection that, and then she opens it. She's like, oh, now April's in here. I'm like, I wonder how she got in there. It's really cool seeing the retro stuff. And, you know, I'm not going to lie, like when I'm cruising through Walmart and Target, seeing, you know, the storage shell turtles, you know, back on shelves again, it's like, oh man, these still look awesome on pegs in a retail environment, huh?
Yeah. And that was one of the keys too, was, you know, not only, you know, the figures, but the packaging too, and trying to retain that original look, that original artwork. Cause you know, obviously times have changed and a lot of that artwork didn't exist. So we had to recreate it and, you know, taking the time to recreate it so that it looked as close as possible to the original looking packaging that, today's grownups remember from back in the day. Very, very important as well.
And the thing I like about those two is like they're made for if you want to open them, but that's like some nice, you know, like carding on them where if you want to, you know, put them in a like a protector and put them on the wall or display them, you know, mint on card, they're going to stay. Like that bubble is not coming off.
Yeah.
Unless you want it to.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, so our next section here, we're going to head into some follower Q&A. So, Dave, for the people that may be listening to this episode for the first time, what should they do?
Yeah, so they should smash that subscribe button and read the stories. View the stories? View the stories.
Read the stories.
We're gonna story whenever we're going to have a new episode and a guest on. And that's where we are going to ask you to ask questions. And, you know, you can be like our four Q&As today and have your question featured just by following at AIC_podcast on the gram, as the youths would say. And also on the Twitter. And while you're at it, smash and like the subscribe button on YouTube. And hit the bell so you know when we're going to have more videos.
Never gets old, gets better every time. Everyone give it up unless you're driving and you need both of your hands. Give it up for Dave. A little clap for Dave. It gets better every time. But yes, so this is, of course,
the fun part is I think those are all real words.
You know, no cap, Dave. No cap. You're doing great. So as Dave mentioned, this is our Q&A section. So we completely understand that the folks that we have come on the show get very limited time with the general public to talk about these toys. So, you know, we understand that privilege. So we want to make sure we get some of your questions, our followers, highlighted here. So as Dave mentioned, Pat, we've got four for you today. Dave, would you like to do the first one?
I would love to. And we alluded to this one before. So at OBX Rock, Outer Banks Rock?
I mean, maybe.
Asks, who is your favorite turtle?
Who is my favorite turtle? You know, I've always liked Leonardo because he's the leader of the group. But at the same time, I really like Michelangelo too, because he's the funny one. He's the jokester. And, you know, some of the lines that he says is, just plain fun. And I, obviously like Raphael too, because you know, he's the strong one. He's the no nonsense, fight at all costs, and you know, fight first, ask questions later. And then you have Donatello, who is the brains of the operation, and you know, push comes to shove, he's the one that comes up with the plan. But at the end of the day, Leonardo is probably my favorite turtle.
All right, so we got three different picks here. I respect you both, but you're both wrong. It's the answer is Donatello. So that's
listen, whoever was the genius that caused me to put sprinkles on my pizza when I was a kid, that's who's the best.
Oh my god. And I guess that's the reason why I like anchovies. What are you gonna do? There's a turtle for everyone, folks. There is no best turtle. Yes. You can have your favorite, but there is no best. All right. So your
favorite is the best.
Yes, accurate. All right. So our next one comes from a friend of the pod. I'm gonna give him a shout out here at Toy Farce. If you are not following at Toy Farce on Instagram, please do so. He is hilarious and also a super nice Frenchman. So definitely follow Toy Farce. And he asks, with all of the retro reissues, is there any chance we'll see the Jim Lee Turtles get a re-release?
The Jim Lee Turtles, good question. I don't believe that is in our current plans to relaunch. However, that could change. And it could be that it's not in our plans because of rights issues, more so than the tools not being available. I think there would be a couple additional hurdles to cross in order to bring those back, since, you know, it was a kind of a third-party creation, so to speak. But I'm going to write that one down and bring that up with the powers to be, and and check into that. But definitely a good idea.
Awesome. I mean, yeah, those were some very, very unique designs. I think,
For sure,
it would be interesting to see them come back. And, you know, especially, you know, Jim Lee, you know, only gets more famous as time goes on. So, great question, Toy Farce. Dave, you're up with the next one.
At Richie Rich 01610 asks, have you considered a more adult focused line of more detailed and articulated turtles that come in at a higher price point?
Yes, we have. And watch out in 2024 with the 40th anniversary of Ninja Turtles, because we will be doing a couple of things that I think, the true pure collector will really appreciate. Ooh. And I'll leave it at that. I don't want to go too deep into it, but definitely doing the turtles and redoing those and giving them more of today's sculpting technology is something that we've been looking at.
Awesome. That's exciting. I didn't realize that it was already the 40th anniversary. Jeez. Yeah.
So 40 years from the original comic book, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wow. Jeez.
I know.
That makes sense. Yeah.
All right. So our last Q&A question here comes from at DAT Figures, Dat Figures asks, will the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and more specifically Mutant Mayhem, have a retail presence in 2024?
Definitely. I mean, in our basic figure line, there is enough characters that stretch into 2024. And there are some vehicles, too, that we will be launching that are based on vehicles from the movie that will appear in 2024. And then we'll expand a couple of segments, too, specifically role play that will have Mutant Mayhem look and feel. That'll come together in the form of toys in 24 as well.
Very cool. More to look forward to. So with that, you've survived our Q&A section, Pat. So you're 2 for 2. You're 2 for 2.
We did it again.
We did it again. But before we let you go, since you have already been a guest on the show and you've already had a chance to answer our standard final question that we ask to all of our guests, Dave, would you like to fulfill your role as this podcast's James Lipton and ask our alternative final question?
Why, yes, I would. Since you have already been on our show before and have answered our show's final standard question, we have prepared an alternative for you. If you could form one ultimate Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles team using any variants of the four turtles from Playmates history, what would it be?
So, you know, obviously that original turtle from the 80s, 90s would be one. The 2012 turtles would be a second. Mutant Mayhem would be a third. And probably the 2003 Four Kids turtles would be the fourth. And I think you have a good mix in there because back in 2003, that was based on Peter Laird's vision of having the TV series follow more in line with the original comic book, which was kind of dark and edgy. And, you know, the turtles for that kind of took on that look. Obviously, with Mutant Mayhem, yeah, they look a little younger, so you have that more teenage look. And then the 2012 series, you know, again, I think paid homage to the original classic look, but at the same time had a cool look all of its own as well. So I think those four would be my choices. And, you know, obviously there has been movies and other TV shows, but I think those four, you know, probably are nearest and dearest to my heart.
Great answer. And you know, I'm thinking this is one of those ones, Dave, where we should probably answer too. We should probably put teams together.
Yeah.
Do you want to go first or you want me to go first?
Oh, okay.
Do you need time to think? Because I was kind of thinking about this while Pat was answering. So I think I have my four.
I actually think I gave you my answer.
Did you really?
When I first came up with the question.
Okay. So you look up your answer. I'll give mine. I'm going Universal Monsters.
Yes, I actually do have it.
You do.
That's funny.
Okay. I'm going Universal Monsters mashup. I am going Mutant Mayhem. I'm gonna go the sports one. I'm gonna do a sports one. And I'm gonna go a 2003 turtle as well. That's gonna be my four.
So I actually I sent it to you down to the character, but I'll just go the lines.
Okay.
So I have the WWE crossover.
I forgot about those. but which one did you
movie
put?
Star.
Wait, which one did you put for
Sting? Sting. Raphael Sting.
Raphael Sting. Yeah.
I kind of forgot about that one myself.
What were the other ones? It was Randy Savage,
Ultimate Warrior, and Undertaker.
Undertaker, and then John Cena as well.
Oh, that's right, John Cena.
John Cena.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, it was Sting.
And The Rock. I think we did The Rock too. So.
Yeah, there were. I think there were two series.
Yes, there was.
Because I think The Undertaker was one too.
Yep.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't thought about these in a long. I'm Googling them right now. I haven't thought about these in a while. Yeah, the ones that I was thinking of were Sting, Cena, Undertaker, and Macho Man.
Yep.
Were the four that I was thinking of. Wow. Yeah, those are awesome. All right, sorry, I cut you off.
The movie star. Movie star. Original, gotta go with my first ones, and Mutant Mayhem, and I had Donatello as my Mutant Mayhem, Michelangelo as my movie star, and Leo as my OG.
Nice, yeah. Love those the movie star ones with the like rubbery
Yeah, I thought that was really cool. Yeah. And like, it was one of those things where I was like, oh, cool. Like, I've wanted these.
it feels like the costume looks like it would feel on the screen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But they were from Secret of the Ooze.
Yes. Yes, they were. Yes, they were. Pat, so with that, before we say good evening, remind our listeners, where can they find out the latest news on Playmates Toys? Where can they follow on social media?
Well, definitely follow Playmates Toys on social media, on our Facebook as well as Instagram. And we are revamping our website as well, giving it a new look and feel. That's obviously Ninja Turtles will be based on that Mutant Mayhem look. And hopefully that will be done no later than mid-July. Awesome. So, we'll have all the latest toys and introductions there as well. Obviously I hope the fans continue listening to you guys and your podcasts, and, we'll feed you information as soon as we get it. And I know there's another event called Sweet Sweet that's coming up that will happen in New York, and we will be there for that as well. And then, shortly, with Toy Fair moving to September this year, we'll have a booth at Toy Fair too. Awesome. And that will have the latest and greatest on Ninja Turtles, and what's new in the Ninja Turtle world will be featured at Toy Fair as well.
And we will definitely be at Sweet Sweet, and we should be at Toy mm-hmm. Fair as well. So we'll be sure to see you guys there. With that, Dave, I think the only thing left to do is to send everybody home.
Yeah, turtle power.
Thank you, dear listener, for hanging out with us today. Subscribe, rate, and review us wherever you listen, and then tell your friends to do it. Thanks also to Joe Azari, the golden voice behind our intro. Our music is Game Boy Horror by the Zombie Dandies. Find more about them both in our show notes.
Follow us on social media at AIC_podcast on Instagram and Twitter. Stop by and say hi, show us your toy hauls, and share your toy stories. Maybe we'll talk about it in a future episode.
Don't try this at home. Void where prohibited and some assembly required. Each sold separately, not a flying toy. Consult a physician if your toy run exceeds more than 4 hours.
This has been a non-productive media presentation. Executive producer, Frank Hablawi. This program and many others like it on the Non-Productive Network is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Please share it, but ask before trying to change it or sell it. For more information, visit non-productive.com.